Venus is normally seen as a vision of hell, and it is. It's not just hot at the surface, it's actually so bad that the crushing atmospheric pressure and continuous clouds of sulfuric acid are so efficient at redistributing heat that the entire planet at ground level is more or less the same temperature, about 460 degrees Celsius or 860 Fahrenheit, no matter if you're standing at the poles or the equator or on the night side. This is strange for a planet that in other ways is very much like Earth. It's nearly the same size and density, and is only about 30% closer to the Sun, and, long ago, it was very likely much more Earth-like than it is now. For a very long time, it may have had liquid water oceans on its surface for as long as 2 billion years, and may have had hydrothermal vents at that time, and as such might have even been an abode of life, or even conceivably served as the birthplace for the life that now exists on Earth, through transferring that life via panspermia. Unfortunately, if it existed on Venus, evidence of this life is probably long gone. Venus seems to periodically resurface itself through titanic episodes of volcanism, which would deeply bury or erase any fossil evidence that might once have existed. As a stretch, maybe some ancient rocks might be present on the surface, and certain minerals such as tremolite might preserve evidence of it, but it's a long shot so far as we know, unless, of course, that life never went extinct. Even though Venus's surface isn't likely to support life now, even the most hardy extremophile bacteria on Earth can't survive those temperatures, its upper atmosphere is another question entirely. At a height of about 50 kilometers, it's much cooler and far lower in pressure. In fact, at this level above the surface of Venus, we find what is arguably the most Earth-like conditions in the solar system outside of Earth, to the point that if you sprung a leak in your spacesuit, it wouldn't kill you due to equalized atmospheric pressure. So could life that once arose on the surface of Venus have survived by moving high up into the atmosphere? After all, we detect Earth life very high in our atmosphere, and there are a handful of odd hints that this might be going on Venus, and another was recently added to the list, more on that in a minute. The first hint comes from probes sent in the past. A chemical called carbonyl sulfide was detected in the upper atmosphere of Venus. It's difficult to produce this chemical without life, but in fairness, volcanism can do it. So it's ambiguous, but an eyebrow raiser. Yet Venus shows plenty of evidence of volcanism on its surface, but so far we haven't seen anything currently active, or at least active for the last 2.5 million years. This could change with a single discovery, of course. But does the carbonyl sulfide on Venus come from life or volcanoes? We don't know yet, but there are hints that something may be going on at Venus. Venus features something we don't understand. Known as unknown absorbers, Venus's clouds feature dark patches that absorb solar radiation. It's speculated that this may be a chemical phenomenon, such as ferric chloride or something to do with sulfur compounds, but it could also be biological. And there's been a new development in regards to studying the unknown absorbers. They seem to be affecting Venus's atmosphere at large in a big way. In a paper by Yoon-Ju Lee and colleagues, link below, they detail that after studying data from multiple missions and instruments, that there seems to be a relationship between the solar-driven winds on Venus and the clouds. The dark absorbers affect the planet's albedo, or how much solar energy is reflected back into space, which then causes temperature changes which affect the winds. This creates an interesting situation where changes in albedo occur due to changes in the unknown absorbers. This makes it a bit difficult to explain abiotically, so the possibility is there that microorganisms that evolved on Venus are affecting its atmosphere. This would not be unheard of. Earth's atmosphere is profoundly affected by its biosphere, in particular through oxygen and methane production. Intriguingly, the team discovered that the particles making up the unknown absorbers were consistent physically, chemically, and spectrally with some atmospheric microorganisms here on Earth. But not a lot, which may suggest that these are indeed microorganisms in Venus's atmosphere, a big if, but then they likely evolved independent from Earth life, in which case this would be entirely indigenous life to Venus rather than anything related to panspermia between worlds. It would be truly alien life, simple though it may be. But to either confirm or deny whether this phenomenon is indeed being caused by microorganisms is going to take time. The team notes that they need to monitor the planet over long periods of time and through multiple solar cycles to get a better picture of the phenomenon and eliminate internal and external potential sources for the variations. The absorption seen in Venus's atmosphere is particularly interesting in ultraviolet. It's not clear why, but dark lines have been observed in ultraviolet frequencies for some time, It could be that if all of this is due to life, it could be absorbing UV as an energy source. Once again, this would be a very different adaptation to most life on Earth, which has a tendency not to deal well with ultraviolet. But there are organisms on Earth that have adapted to at least re-radiate ultraviolet, if not use it for an energy source. So tick another box as far as the potential for microbial life in the atmosphere of Venus. But there is a broader question here. If life could exist on a hell planet like Venus, this could have implications on life in the universe in general, especially when dealing with stars that produce a lot of ultraviolet, such as M-type red dwarfs, but also stars like the type F stars, which are usually considered not ideal candidates for life due to large amounts of ultraviolet light. If we were to find life at Venus that uses ultraviolet light as an energy source, this might change the landscape of thought about those kinds of stars. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Gaudier, currently eyeing Venus suspiciously, so much so that I'd be doing a monocle drop, or even a double monocle drop if I didn't wear glasses. So, I'll drop my glasses. We always thought that Mars was the likely planet other than Earth to have spawned life, and it hints that it very well may still have it, but Venus hints as well, as does Europa. And what of nutrient-rich Enceladus and its ocean? Hints aplenty, and part of me loves it, the other part wonders if it would be infectious. Gonna be a rough cold and flu season someday, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.